The Bible promises that being a Christian is a total transformation. In fact, the Bible says that once you become a Christian, once you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have become a new creation. This is a total transformation, not just some things you add on to your old lifestyle, but instead it's your entire life has been transformed. It's not that, you know, because you have become a Christian that you retain your old lifestyle, you retain how you used to live, and then all you do is just you add some religious things to do. Maybe you just go to church on Sundays, on maybe Wednesday you unite prayer meetings and all this stuff. That's not the case. The Bible says that once you are in Christ, once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, that you have become a new creation. This is a transformation that is a total transformation, not just something you add on to your old lifestyle. And there's a whole change in our focus and our goals of living, why we are alive on this earth. There's a change in our inward character. There's a change in, you know, us finding joy and peace and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Christ, in God. There is a total transformation, and that's the goal, and that's also the promise that the Bible gives us for anyone who comes to know Jesus, who comes to be reconciled with God. And that verse that I've quoted is actually found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's just turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's read basically the whole passage starting from verse 11 to verse 17. Once again, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Verse 17 is the verse that I have quoted. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So this is a promise from the Bible that if anyone is in Christ, that he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. It's a total transformation. And from the passage that I just read, we can see that there are certain transformations that should occur and should be lived out in the Christian life. And it's not by our own means, of course. We know in the Bible it says not by our might, not by our strength, but by the Holy Spirit, whom God has promised to those, or actually whom God has given to those who have believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let's break down this passage, and we can see that there are certain ways of thinking and there are certain ways of living that should accompany someone who has become a new creation. And this is a wonderful promise that God has given us, because what he says is that, you know what, before you became a Christian, you are living for yourself, you're living for selfish desires or your own goals, but and those have led to many hardships and many wrongful way of living. But once you have become a Christian, God has forgiven all those wrong things that we have done, or all the things that we have done with a selfish nature, and has given us a new nature within us, has created a new nature within us that is absolutely new. It's not the old nature with all the sins and all the selfishness retained and then, you know, just added something onto it, but instead it's actually a whole transformation. The old has gone and the new has come. The old is gone and the new has come. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and from verses 11 through verse 13, we can see that in this new creation, there's a change in our focus. There's a change in who we desire to please, per se. We are no longer man-pleasers. We are no longer worried about what other people think about us. But of course, that still affects us, but that's not our priority. We are more concerned about what God thinks about us, or how God looks upon us, instead of what other people, what our peers, what our, maybe our co-workers, what our bosses think about us. We are more concerned about what Jesus thinks, about how God looks upon us. So let me read it to you again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 to 13. It says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others." You know, basically, what is Paul talking about here? Well, if we jump back to verse 10, you know, just one verse up, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." And then in verse 11, it says, "Therefore," meaning that, okay, because of verse 10, you know, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And what this verse 10 says is that it says that in the end, at the end, end of the world, everyone will have to come in front of the judgment seat of Christ, and then God himself, Christ himself, Jesus Christ, will come and judge us for what we have done. And knowing this, we live our lives differently, you know, because, you know, we are no longer man-pleasers. We are no longer worried about what other people think, and that's basically what Paul says in verse 12. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you the ability to boast about, you know, who we are and what's in our heart. You know, because the man loves to look at the outward appearance. Man loves to judge people by you know, the outward appearance, how they look, and many times it's what they did, how they do it, how they look, and all that stuff. That's how the world judges each other, and that's how the world judges and makes a distinction between one another. You know, those who look good are praised, and those who have money are praised. But God looks more than that. God looks into the heart. God looks into the character of the person. There's actually a story in the Old Testament, and it's actually the story of King David. And that's before David became king. That's when it actually occurred, when God told the prophet Samuel to go to David's house, actually David's father's house, and to anoint him as king. And what happened was that, let me turn to that passage in Samuel. This story is found in 1 Samuel chapter 16, and let's just jump down to verse 6. But what happened was that Samuel was called by God to go to a certain city and to visit Jesse, the father of David. And you know, when Samuel appeared there, and Jesse invited him to come in, Samuel asked Jesse to bring him all Jesse's sons, so that he can anoint one of them to become king. And this is the story. So when Jesse basically called all his sons to come, so when they came, meaning the sons of Jesse came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So this is God telling Samuel. Samuel, you know, in his initial reaction when he saw all the sons of all sons of Jesse, that he saw, you know, the firstborn Eliab come to him, and then he thought, okay, this person, you know, he looks, he's a tall stature, you know, and apparently he looks kingly in some form. But, you know, the Lord told him, "Hey, don't look at his outward appearance, or don't look at the, you know, how tall he is, because he has been rejected by God." For the Lord, in Samuel verse 6, Samuel, 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And this is basically a warning for all Christians, that, you know, we should be careful to judge others based upon how the world judges them, but we should know what God sees in the person. And it's the same warning that Apostle Paul gave in 2 Corinthians, that says, you know, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 12, We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. So once again, there's the contrast between what's in the heart and what's in the outward appearance. And a person who is a new creation will no longer judge others based upon their outward appearance, but will be more concerned about the character, the inward growth, the inward maturity of a person, just like how God sees us also. And then in verse 13, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." Basically, verse 13 is a sort of a answer of Paul to the taunts of his enemies, or to the taunts of other people who claim that Paul is crazy. That's why he said, "If you are beside," it's sort of a euphemism that Paul uses about being crazy, saying beside ourselves, that we are, you know, sort of not in the right mind, not in the right mindset. And Paul is saying, hey, if people think that we are crazy, it is for God. And if we are in our right mind, which we are, it is for you, for the, you know, the Corinthians people whom Paul is writing to. So Paul is saying that it doesn't matter what other people are talking about us. It doesn't matter whether they think we are crazy. It doesn't matter whether they think we're sane. All we're doing is that we are more concerned about how God looks upon us, and especially, you know, we have to come appear before God in a judgment seat, so that, you know, our goals as a new creation in Christ is to be more concerned about how God looks upon us than what other people think about us, and then maybe even the false accusations that maybe some people will even say that we are crazy for believing in who Jesus is. That is Paul's encouragement, main encouragement in this part of the passage, that, you know, those who are a new creation should be more concerned about how God sees us than how other human beings sees us, than all the taunts and all the ridicule that other people will throw at us or will say about us. It shouldn't matter. I mean, we should be more concerned about how God looks upon us. And let's go on to verse 14. He says that, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." So Paul, right here, he sees giving the focus of a new creation, or someone who is in Christ. The focus is no longer living for ourselves. The focus is no longer selfish desires or selfish needs and selfish wants. That before a person has come to know who God is, before a person who is reconciled to God, many times their focus and their purpose, their main purpose, is actually how to please themselves, how to make themselves comfortable, and how to make themselves just rich and famous, and all the stuff that the people in the world seeks after. But, you know, someone who is in Christ, someone who has been become a new creation, no longer live for themselves. It's no longer a selfish nature. It's no longer a selfish desire. But someone who is in Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, that, you know, we will no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised, meaning that we should live for Christ, that in all we do it for the glory of God. Now, this is also found in the Bible, that someone who is a new creation, first of all, is concerned more about how God looks upon us, and second of all, in their life, in how they live their life, they are no longer living with in a selfish manner, in selfish desires, and self-centered manner, but instead they are more concerned about, you know, living for Christ, giving Christ glory. That in all that they do, they desire that God be glorified in their lives. They desire that God be magnified and be praised and be adored in their life and through their life. That others who see them and what they do will give glory to God who is in heaven. This is also a teaching found in the Bible. And this kind of living for others or living for Jesus is only possible when we are controlled by the love of Christ. That's what verse 14 says. You know, that we are being directed and empowered by the love of Christ, and the love that God has, that Jesus has given us, and that the Holy Spirit will empower within us, will magnify within us, the love that Jesus has for the world, that He will give to us, that kind of love. And only when we have the love of Christ controlling us are we able to live not only not for ourselves, but for the glory of Jesus, for Jesus Christ, who died and who was raised for our sake. So once again, a new creation in Christ, a new creature in Christ, is someone who is more concerned about facing God in the future, facing the judgment seat of Christ, and who is more concerned about how God looks upon them, rather than how men will perceive them, or how all the negative things that men will say about them will not or should not bother them, but they will be more concerned about what God thinks about them. And second of all, they are being controlled by the love of Christ, so that all their focus is no longer inward, no longer self-centered, no longer selfish in nature, but rather they desire that Jesus be glorified through their life. Well, first of all, in their life, in what they do, in their character, that Jesus will be seen and will be glorified, and also that Jesus will be seen through their life, that other people will be help, other people will feel the love and the joy of Jesus through their actions. That's a new creation. That's what a new creation should look like. So let's go on to the last two verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So what Paul is basically saying is that, hey, there has to be a difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who isn't. Someone who is a Christian will no longer judge others based upon the worldly standard. Basically, that's what Paul means when we regard no one according to the flesh anymore. Is that we have a different standard. We no longer judge them because of their outward appearance. We no longer judge them because we no longer treat them better because we think that they're rich and they're famous or all those other things that the world says is important. But we are more concerned about what God sees in them and how God looks at them, and then the inward character, what's in their heart. That's no longer judging anyone according to the flesh. And Paul also confessed that before we judge Christ the same way, but now because we are in him, that we no longer treat him that way. We know who he is. He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a good teacher, or he's a more than just a good moral person, but rather he is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. And we no longer treat him as the world treats him, according to the flesh, but we treat him knowing that he is the Savior of the world, that it's only through him and only through recognizing what he has done for us on the cross are we able to be reconciled with God. So we no longer see others according to the flesh, and we no longer see Christ according to the flesh. Instead, what happens is that, because we have believed in him, we have known who he is, that we are no longer the old person or the person we once were, but because we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So this is just a quick reminder for everyone, and especially for Christians out there, that as Christians, we should be different just because of who we are, just because we have become Christians, that we should live life differently than how the rest of the world lives. That the things that we consider important are different than what the world considers important. We no longer judge people according to the flesh, and we are more concerned about how God thinks of us, and we're more concerned about living out a life that pleases God instead of a life that, you know, seeks to please ourselves, or seeks to please our self-centered nature. This is what Bible means when it says that we are no longer the old has passed and the new has come, that as a new creation, we are no longer under the influence of the old nature, and we are no longer living according to the old nature, but instead we are living according to who Christ is, and through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, having the love of Christ controls us, and coming to guide us and lead us. So let's close this time in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for just reminding us, Lord, that when we are in you, Lord, we are a new creation. We are no longer living our lives according to the old ways of thinking, according to the worldly standard, but instead, Lord, you have given us a new standard. You have given us a new purpose, a new focus in life, and that is to live our life to be controlled by your love, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, I am asking, Lord, as Christians, Lord, that you will indeed empower us and control us with your love, Lord. You will empower us with your Holy Spirit, that when others see our lives, they'll see the love of Jesus pouring out in us and through us to touch others, Lord. And Lord, give us a new focus, Lord, a focus of desiring to want to be able to stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ without being ashamed, Lord, that we are more concerned about how you think about us instead of what other people say about us. And Lord, let us not be swayed by the talkings of men or by the standards of men, but instead, Lord, we are holding on to a new standard, we are holding on to a righteous standard, and Lord, we are holding on to you, knowing that, Lord, you have promised that, Lord, when we are in you, we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit will come and just fill us once again, Lord, and give us the power to live out a new creation lifestyle, a lifestyle that is focused on you and loving you with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and through that, loving others as we love ourselves. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.